Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. I'm Steve Klein. It's great to have you listening to our program. Hope that everything is going well with you today, that your day is getting off to a good start, and that you're looking forward to getting out and worshiping God. We invite you to do that with us at the Eastside Church. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Meet at 9 o'clock this morning for a Bible study and a worship assembly. We'd love to have you come be with us and honor the God of heaven, glorify His name, and just get to know us as we study the Word of God together. If you're not able to be with us today, you can view our services online. They're live streamed. Check out our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ in Athens, or go to our website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. Click on the Media tab and the live streaming there. But again, we invite you to come be with us in person today and honor the God of heaven on this first day of the week with us at Eastside. In the book of Amos, chapter 7, I'm going to start there this morning as we think about how we should measure ourselves and how God measures us in accordance to His truth and His righteousness. There's an interesting metaphor that Amos uses to describe that process. So as you're reading the book of Amos, Amos chapter 7, this is actually the third of five visions that Amos saw concerning the judgment of God against Israel. In this particular vision, Amos sees the Lord standing on a wall with a plumb line in His hand. Here's what it says, Amos chapter 7 and verse 7. Thus He showed me, behold, the Lord stood on a wall made with a plumb line, in His hand. And the Lord said to me, Amos, what do you see? And I said, a plumb line. Then the Lord said, behold, I am setting a plumb line in the midst of my people Israel. I will not pass by them any more. The high places of Isaac shall be desolate, and the sanctuaries of Israel shall be laid waste. I will rise with the sword against the house of Jeroboam. The Lord is saying, isn't He, that He's going to measure Israel according to His standard, and Israel's not going to measure up, and so He's going to punish her and, in fact, destroy her. We may not be familiar with what a plumb line is. As I read that, you may think, well, what on earth is that? Many people will know. But a plumb line is a device that masons and carpenters, sometimes architects even use, to determine straight up and down as you're measuring and forming a wall, say, or a house even, or anything that needs to be straight up and down, a post that you're setting in the ground. You can get a string and tie a weight to the bottom of the string and hold it up, and that will be straight up and down. Gravity pulls it straight down, okay? So then you have, as you look at that line, you have a measurement, a standard to go by to determine what up and down really is in a straight and accurate way. Israel, in this text that we just read, had been formed by the plumb line of the Lord. In other words, he had made her, He built her, straight up and down. The law and the principles of right by which He had made His nation, His holy nation, the chosen people of Israel, that was God's doing. But now the plumb line in the hand of God is going to show how far out of line the nation of Israel had become, how far off of being straight up and down they really were. They were not upright, and they were completely crooked and unbalanced in all of their behavior. That's the point that's being made here. And from that, we learn that indeed God measures all of us, doesn't He? He's made us upright. The Bible says God made man upright, but we've sought many inventions or many things of our own choosing that we'd rather do than be what God made us to be. So this metaphor that God uses to describe His judging Israel could also be used in describing how He judges each one of us and anything else that He judges, churches, nations. God judges, of course, all. God judges everything by an exact standard. So the plumb line is used in the Scriptures as an illustration of judgment, as we see in this text. And God's judgment, of course, is 100% accurate because, after all, He's God. Back in Isaiah chapter 28 and verse 16, Isaiah said, thus says the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious stone, a sure foundation, and whoever believes will not act hastily. Also, I will make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. So the Lord here is describing his plans to build something. He's going to lay in Zion, that would be in Jerusalem, if you will, a foundation stone, a precious cornerstone. Other passages in both the Old and New Testament, we find that that precious cornerstone is Jesus Christ himself. And on that cornerstone, he's going to build his holy temple, which today, of course, is his church, his saved people. Jesus is the foundation of the church. He is the cornerstone on which it's all built. Obviously, God measured it straight, right? That's what this text says. I will make justice the measuring line. As he's building his temple on this precious cornerstone, he's going to make justice the measuring line and righteousness the plummet. So justice and righteousness, the straight up and down, that's the way it's going to be. It's measured by God's plumb line, if you will. So in the church, we have what God has designed, built on this cornerstone of Jesus Christ and erected to be upright, to be true. But God's judgments and measurements are always true and right, aren't they? The judgment of God is always according to truth. Romans chapter 2 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, we know that the judgment of God is according to truth. God is true, and any judgments that he makes and any measurements that he uses are going to be completely accurate. Well, what is the measurement that God uses? What is this metaphor of the plumb line? What does that represent? Well, it represents his word, the word by which God builds and by which he measures all things. God's word is an amazingly accurate and probing standard of judgment. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, the Bible says that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no creature that is hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. But it is the word of God, then, that probes within us, that can tell the difference between, you know, what's going on in one part of us and another part of us, and knows all about us. It is the word of God that's this sharp standard of judgment that we have here in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. And that's exactly what Amos was describing when he described the plumb line that God uses to measure us by. The wise person builds then his house, builds his life. If he's going to be straight up and down and stand up to God's measurement, he's going to build his life based on the words of the Lord. Because the words of the Lord, the word of God, that's what the Lord's going to measure you by. In Matthew chapter 7, Jesus explains this pretty thoroughly in a very simple parable that many of us are familiar with. This comes at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. And he says, Jesus does in verse 24, that whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. So we know about the wise man who built his house on the rock, right? Who is he? He's the man who hears Jesus' words and does them. The rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall because it was founded on the rock. So that man's life, as he's building his life on the rock that is Jesus, that's going to stand. It's solid. It measures correctly and straight up and down, and it's strong. He goes on to say, however, that everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. That house isn't going to stand. It's leaning over to begin with, right? And it's not on a solid foundation. Jesus says about that house, the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and its great was its fall. What we learn from that is that we build our house to be strong and sturdy and straight, the house of our life, when we hear Jesus' words and actually do them, apply them to our lives. And if we don't build that way, our house isn't going to stand in the end. Our lives are not going to stand in the end. So getting back to this concept that we are going to be judged by the Word of God, that is the measuring line, that is the plumb line that God will use to see whether or not we're straight up and down, to see whether or not we're standing as we ought to before him. Jesus said in John chapter 12 and verse 48, that he who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I've spoken will judge him at the last day. For I've not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gives me a command what I should say and what I should speak. So when the judgment day comes, whether or not we're straight or not will be determined by the words that Jesus spoke. In Revelation chapter 20, you have the Apostle John being shown the judgment throne of God. And it says in verse 12, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books. Those books surely were containing the Word of God. They were the books that we have in Scripture that will judge us in the last day. They will measure us in the last day. They will determine whether or not we are straight up and down, if you will, whether we're completely vertical before God. The Bible says in Psalm 9 and verse 8 that God will judge the world in righteousness. His judgment is absolutely true. His judgment is absolutely correct. And it is the standard by which we will be measured. Unfortunately, as we think about our lives today, we measure ourselves, we try to figure out where we're standing before God, perhaps. We often use faulty standards. We don't use the standard of God's Word. I think that's the inclination of many humans, at least, not really to look into God's Word, to measure themselves by that, to determine what God is seeing when He looks at us, but rather we'll use, as I said, faulty standards. You see, we, by our every decision and action, are continually building a house, our life. And whether consciously or not, we are building our house by some kind of standard. Maybe we're looking around at those who are friends and neighbors, our family members and co-workers. We're measuring ourselves by them. And we think, well, I'm straight because I'm kind of like my neighbor or my friend or my coworker or my family member is. And so I'm measuring myself by them. They look straight to me and I look like I'm straight morally speaking, religiously speaking, spiritually speaking. And so we measure ourselves by one another. And that's just, we ourselves are not the standard of measurement. God's plumb line, His Word, that's the standard of measurement, not some other person. The only standard of measurement we have are Jesus and His Word. And that's what we must measure ourselves by. Paul, the Apostle Paul, will write in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12, we dare not class ourselves or compare ourselves with those who commend themselves. They, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise. See, it's not wise. That's not a standard of measurement. You can't tell what's straight up and down, spiritually speaking, by looking at another person's life. We must look to Jesus and His Word to see that, because that's what God is going to use in the last day. That's the measuring standard that God is going to use, as we've already seen. But standards of our own invention give us an incorrect perception of what is straight, of what is upright. In Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, the wise man said, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end are the ways of death. There's a way that seems right. There are those who might think, well, I'm living a good life and I'm straight and I'm what I'm supposed to be because I've got a lot of wealth. I've got a comfortable life. God's blessed me in so many ways, and therefore I must be good. I must be all right. Your personal wealth, your standard of living, the comfort of your life is not actually any kind of measurement at all concerning how good you are, or how good your life is. This was a problem that a man had in Scripture that Jesus describes for us in Luke chapter 12. If you're at home and you have your Bible, you may go over there and look with me in Luke chapter 12. And down in verse 13, somebody from the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbiter over you?" He said to them then, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Now, you remember, we're building a life here, right? We're building a life according to a standard. Jesus says your life's not made up. The standard is not how much stuff you have. The standard is not how comfortable you're living. That doesn't necessarily mean your life is what it ought to be. That's what Jesus is saying very plainly. And it goes on to explain it in a parable. He says that the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my goods?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store my crops and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. See, this man thought his life was all right because of his abundant wealth. He was comfortable. He had his retirement plan all taken care of, right? But his life wasn't right. His life was not right with God. It didn't measure up. And God says to him in the next verse, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he, Jesus goes on to say, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. If we are thinking that our comfortable life, and many of us, if we're honest with ourselves, are living fairly comfortable lives, certainly much more so than most of the other people in the world. Here in America, we are so richly blessed, and even somebody who's living in poverty in America is wealthier than about 75% of the people in the world. So we're richly blessed. And if we think that that means that our life is good in the sight of God, we are gravely mistaken. Our lives must be lived and built to prepare for eternity. You see, the person who dies, as somebody said, the person who dies with the most toys is nonetheless still dead at the end of it. And all those toys and all those things that they provided for themselves aren't going to do them any good in eternity. But your life, as measured by God, if it measures up to what He wants, that'll mean something. The other thing that you can't build your life on is popular opinion of what a good life is. That's not a standard. Seems like in every generation, though, people think that whatever the popular opinion of the day is, whatever is fashionable, that is what your life ought to be. And fashions come and go. And I'm not just talking about fashions in clothing. I'm talking about political and social movements. What's acceptable in society, what's not acceptable in society, that shifts all the time. We talk about things like conservative and liberal and so on and so forth, all kinds of different labels. But the point is, what society says is right is just a matter of what's fashionable currently in society. That's not a measurement of one's life. The Bible says in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 2, you shall not follow a crowd to do evil. You shall not follow a crowd to do evil. So just because everybody else is doing something, that doesn't mean you should do it. That doesn't make it right. And if we look around in the world today and we say, well, here's the philosophy of the day, and that's the philosophy we adopt. Here's the lifestyle of the day, and that's the lifestyle we adopt. That's not necessarily going to make us right in the eyes of God. You see, God's plumb line, as we've already said, is straight. We can only be true and straight when measured by God's rule, God's standard, the plumb line, that by which we build our lives on. That has to be God's word. That's the plumb line of truth. Our thoughts, our actions must be measured by God's word. We need to measure them by God's word, so we'll know how He's measuring them. Again, not by man's opinions, not by our own wants, but by God's plumb line. So in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the Bible says that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It is by following God's Word that we find completeness and wholeness as people before God. That's what we need to measure ourselves by. It's as simple as that. You know, here at Eastside, one of the things we really want to do and strive to do is to get into God's Word and know exactly what it's saying. It is the standard that God will measure us by. It is the standard that He's trying to build us by. And so by looking into God's Word and studying it thoroughly, God will help us build the straight life that He wants us to live. That's one of the reasons that here at Eastside we encourage people to study the Bible at home. We offer Bible correspondence courses. You can go to our website, eastside-church.org, and look at the study at home banner, and we offer at least 4 different Bible correspondence courses. You can take them either through email or regular mail and just help get you into the Word, understanding what the Word is saying, be thorough and systematic in your Bible study. We encourage you to do that. And again, we offer these Bible correspondence courses. I encourage you to sign up for one of those to help you come to a fuller understanding of what God's Word, His standard, has to say. You know, the reason that there's so much confusion in religion and morality today is that people have failed to recognize that one perfect standard, God's plumb line. What would you think if a mason or a carpenter was building a wall and seeing that the wall does not line up with the plumb line, just shrug it off and keep on building? You'd say, well, you know, that's not a very good carpenter, not a very good mason. In James chapter 1, James challenges us to be doers of God's word, to hear God's word and do it and to put it into practice. In other words, straighten up that wall, make it right. Here's the way James puts that in James chapter 1 and verse 22. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. He observes himself, he goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. That's the way a lot of people use the Bible. They look in it as a mirror. They see that there are things that are wrong that need correcting, and then they go away and they don't correct those things. And again, to use the metaphor of the plumb line, we use a plumb line to measure ourselves with. We take God's plumb line, the Word of God, we hold it straight up and down, and we see that, well, we're crooked, we're not straight, but we don't do anything. We don't straighten it out. You know, what's wrong with us, right? If we see that we're crooked, don't we want to straighten it out? If you see that your face is messed up in the mirror, that you've got dirt on your face or something needs straightening out, you'd straighten that out. Why don't we use God's word like a mirror or a plumb line to straighten ourselves out? That's what God is intending for us to do. We must learn to use God's plumb line as we build our lives. It would be foolish for a mason or a carpenter to wait until he finished the wall or the house, whatever he's building, to check and see if it's plumb, if it's straight up and down. I read an account some time ago about a wallpaper hanger that used a plumb line on his first section hanging wallpaper and got it straight, but then he attached each succeeding section of wallpaper by comparing it to the last one instead of just, you know, measuring it by the plumb line. He just kind of measured it by the last one that he hung, and was halfway around the room before he noticed that the vertical lines were slanting to the left. We can't just measure by things other than the truth of God's word in our lives. As we've already said, the standard that we use can't be other people. It can't be other lives. It must be God's true line of righteousness, which is His word. This is true in our lives. It's also true in the church. We mentioned earlier this morning that the foundation of the church, the cornerstone of the church, which is absolutely perfect, is Jesus Christ. And so the church is built on Him. The lines should be straight. That's the way God designed it. That's the way God built it. Back in the Old Testament, Zerubbabel was building the second temple. Solomon had built a temple, but it was destroyed by the Babylonians. So Zerubbabel, after returning from captivity, builds the second temple, and it pleased the Lord. It pleased the Lord to see Zerubbabel do this. He's sort of a symbol of Jesus Christ building His church, building His temple. But in Zechariah chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible says, "Who has despised the day of small things? The seven rejoiced to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel." They rejoiced to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They rejoiced to see God's temple being built straight up and down. And as we've said, Christ Himself is the foundation of His temple. And God Himself is using His plumb line, that which is straight, to build His temple, which is the church. So whether we're talking about what the church ought to be or whether we're talking about what our lives ought to be, let's use God's plumb line, God's measurement, God's standard of straight to determine how our lives are supposed to be. Straight. It's just as foolish for us to build our lives and never check God's plumb line as it is for a builder to try to build a wall straight up and down without ever checking what straight up and down is according to that plumb line. So the challenge that we're laying out for everybody today is just to examine yourself by God's standard In 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, the command is to examine yourselves as to whether you're in the faith. Test yourselves. You know, measure yourself. See whether or not you're what God wants you to be. See whether or not the church that you are part of is what God wants it to be. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21, there the Apostle Paul says that we're to test all things and hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. We need to be measuring things in our lives to see whether or not they're right or wrong, good or bad, straight up and down or crooked. It's as simple as that. Lives that are found crooked can be made straight. In fact, they must be made straight. When John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord and to prepare people to receive and accept the Lord, it says about him in Luke chapter 3 and verse 4, he came as it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, saying, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain shall be brought low, the crooked places shall be made straight, the rough ways smooth. All flesh shall see the salvation of God." So that was the ministry of John. He was to, you know, straighten things out for the Lord to come and get people straight for the Lord to come. So the multitudes came to be baptized by him, and he would say to them in verse 7 of Luke 3, "Brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance." Bear fruits worthy of repentance. In other words, you're going to need to change your lives. You're going to need to measure up to this standard. The people ask, "Well, what shall we do then?" down on in verse 10. And he answered them and said, "Well, he who has two tunics, let him give to him who has none. He who has food, let him do likewise." So he's telling these people, you need to be charitable. You need to be kind. You need to be those that share with others who are in need. That's something you can change in your life if you're not doing that. If you're not a kind, sharing, charitable person, that's something that needs to be changed. He tells them exactly what to do. The tax collectors came to John and said, "Well, what shall we do?" And he tells them to collect no more than what is appointed for you. Tax collectors in that day and time were known to collect more than they should have, hold some of it for themselves, all of that. And he's telling them, you need to change this aspect of your life because it's not right. It's not straight up and down. That's the same with us today. If we're going to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, if we're going to be ready even for that relationship, we need to think about straightening out things in our lives, right? Getting our lives straight. That's what repentance is all about. John told these people to repent and bear fruits worthy of repentance. So what we've said this morning is that in every field of human interest, really, there's this necessity for a standard of right, of the way things ought to be. In sports, you have rules by which you play the games, right? In science, you have exact systems of weights and measurement. The carpenter and the mason has the rule and the level and the plumb line. All of these are standards to determine what's right. God has a standard for us. It's like that rule, that plumb line. Let's measure ourselves by it. Let's live by it. Let's build our lives by it. Check yourself. Check yourself by what? Check yourself by the plumb line of God's word. For that is the only way that we can walk straight in the way that leads to life.